You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hey, Dan here from Heed the Call. You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list. Like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew. Which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Welcome to Rico Bronya, episode number 602. We're going to call this edition of the Rico the Picking Up the Pieces edition of the Rico. I am still mad. I am still disappointed. I am still shooken by what happened on both Tuesday and Wednesday when the Mets lost Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso on back-to-back days in free agency. But I think there comes a point, and this will happen on today's edition of the Rico. I also tried to do it on WFAN where you just have to move on. I understand that there are a lot of people still pissed off at David Stearns, and they still want to let out their frustrations, and I respect that. And on our next mailbag edition of the Rico, I will read as many angry emails or defending emails as I possibly can. But right now, we got to move on. I'm a Met fan. You're a Met fan. We're going to watch this team this season, and we're going to hope that our opinions, which right now are negative, are wrong. So the goal of today's Rico Bronya is to pick up the pieces. The goal of today's Rico is to move on. And that doesn't mean that I don't care about Pete Alonso or I'm not bitter about the Mets not signing him, but I think we need to move to the next step of this offseason, which is what the hell should they do next? And I think there are two tracks to this. There's what we think they're going to do and then what we would do. And the track I'm going to lean on is what I would do. And I think what you would do as Met fans on building this baseball team. The other thing we're going to do on the Rico, and this is not the headline, and I told Hoff, I said, let's not label this as we're listening to David Stearns. Because if that was the case, nobody would want to listen, including myself. I may not have shown up to do the Rico, Bronya, if we were going to listen to David Stearns. But later on in this edition of the Rico, we will listen to some of the questions and answers he had at the winter meetings day three. Now, keep in mind, those questions could not confirm the departure of Edwin Diaz, and he hasn't been able to answer any questions about the departure of Pete Alonso. So when we get to that portion of this, Rico, it's more about all of the other things. And clearly, as David Stearns was meeting the media with the clips that we will play, he knew Edwin was gone. He knew he signed with the Dodgers, and he sure as hell knew Pete Alonso was gone. Because the Pete Alonso departure, as much as you and I at times have gone in denial, this thing was obvious for over a year. And I go back to when Pete re-signed back in February. I was certainly very excited. I think most of us were. But we were excited about the chances of winning in 2025. And I remember at the time even saying, we'll worry about 26 then. Let's just have a season. They added Juan Soto. They have a chance to win a championship. Let's just worry about that. But you knew deep down that this breakup was inevitably going to happen. And it did. And so sometimes, even though you know the car is going to hit you, you don't feel it till the car runs you over. Now, with that said, let's move to what do we do next? This team, look, the pitching hasn't changed, okay? They still have done nothing to this rotation. The starting pitching market hasn't moved very much when it comes to trades and free agencies, other than Dylan Cease signing with the Toronto Blue Jays. So let's take the starting pitching question, which we have addressed plenty, and put that to the side. Let's start with the bullpen, and then we'll work to the offense, because quite frankly, I think the offense is a hell of a lot more complicated than what to do with this bullpen. They took another blow on Thursday when Robert Suarez signed with the Atlanta Braves on a 3-year, $45 million contract. They took that blow a couple of ways. Number one, a division rival got better, and Suarez signs with Atlanta to not be the closer, but be a setup man for Raisel Iglesias, who had a very good second half of the year. The Atlanta Braves got significantly better. When I saw the pass and bomb that Suarez was signing with Atlanta, I was disappointed. Because I think when you look at the relieving market in terms of free agency, I would have preferred him over anyone else out there, including Pete Fairbanks, who I'll get into in a few minutes. But the concerning thing about the Suarez signing was, again, we hear, well, the Mets never really made an offer, that they were monitoring the market, and Atlanta moved really quick, and they never jumped in. And so I'm starting to question the Mets free agent strategy. They got Juan Soto. And I know that's always going to be the thing that we will love and we will adore and we will appreciate. And they were aggressive and they got the deal done. And no one should take anything away from that. I am glad Juan Soto is a New York Met. But doesn't it feel in a lot of these other free agency negotiations, they're very tepid? They're very almost conservative to jump in. I'm not going to freak out about Robert Suarez. I get it. There are other bullpen options. He's a 34-year-old reliever who would be asked to pitch in a new role, which he's going to do in Atlanta, and also come to New York, which obviously he's not doing. I'm not saying he was a sure thing and I'm going to lose sleep over Robert Suarez, but that was the one part of the report that I was like, how do they go after free agents? Like, how does that work? I mean, because sometimes you do need to be aggressive. There was aggressiveness in handling Devin Williams, apparently, but they seem very tepid in the way they went after Edwin Diaz. They never made an offer to Pete Alonso, and it feels like with Suarez, they just kind of like lounged back. Now, when you look at the top of the bullpen market, I think Suarez, Jansen, and Fairbanks were the next tier of guys once Edwin Diaz signed. The Kenley Jansen thing, I don't want to touch him because it really appears, first of all, he's getting older by the minute. I know we are all getting older by the minute, but I get concerned about Jansen's age. But Kenley Jansen has shown for a while he wants to tack saves on. And I get it. I respect that. He's trying to put together a Hall of Fame resume. He's not coming here and being guaranteed the closer's job. He could come here and save some games, but he's not going to be guaranteed the closer's job. So you got Suarez, who's now off the books on a very reasonable deal, I think, to Atlanta, 3 years, 45. And then you got Peter Fairbanks. My issue with Fairbanks, and I think this bullpen needs this, they need a little bit of certainty. And I know that's tough to find with bullpen arms. So when I mean certainty, I don't mean he's going to pitch to a 2.5 ERA every single year. I get that that goes up and down. We saw that with Diaz over his time here. I mean pitching. Pete Fairbanks has not been reliable to take the baseball 60, 70 times a season. In fact, how often has he done that? I'd like to give you a little of Peter Fairbanks's resume. Number one, he underwent two Tommy John procedures before he ever got to the major leagues. One in high school, one in college. Or one in the minors, I should say. One in high school, one in the minors. He had shoulder and lat issues throughout 2021 and 2022, in which he missed a ton of time. He had something called, I wrote this down, I'm not even familiar with it, Raynaud's syndrome. It's a condition causing numbness and cold in his fingers, which led to nerve-related issues and IL stints in 2024. And then he had hip inflammation in 2023. I mean, it just feels like, other than last year where he went out and pitched, Pete Fairbanks has not been reliable to take the baseball. And when you look at the current status of this New York Met bullpen, they need a little bit of certainty, which is why I can't believe I'm pushing his name as hard as I am. They got to keep Tyler Rogers. I know that we mentioned him upon the beginning of free agency and talked about his value, and I certainly sold, or at least tried to sell, the Rico audience on the importance of Tyler Rogers, but even more so, because right now, here's what the Met bullpen has as the locks. Brooks Raley, still a year removed from Tommy John. AJ Minter, who is likely not going to be ready for the start of the season and has also had a checkered injury history. And Devin Williams, who, let's not forget, he was healthy last year with the Yankees. That's the positive. The negative was, a year earlier, he missed months due to a back issue. Back issues do not just disappear. Pete Fairbanks made 61 appearances last year. He threw 60 innings. They were all career highs by a lot. And so I think he is one of the top-end relievers, and I think that the ceiling on Fairbanks is very high. And by the way, I'd sign him. Like, I'm just going through my concerns about him. Like, despite all of the injuries I just listed, I think he's the best reliever on the free agent market, so I am good with signing him. But like I always like to say, eyes wide open. He comes with a checkered, injured past. And so even if they sign Fairbanks, I would say you got to sign Tyler Rogers. And I think if you do those two moves and you bring in Fairbanks and you bring in Rogers, and now you're talking about the five guys, the five sure things in terms of being on the roster, which is Raley and Minter from the left, Devin Williams, Pete Fairbanks, and Tyler Rogers from the right, also unique in terms of their skill sets and their pitch selection, I think you got a bullpen. Are there questions? I think there's always going to be questions with bullpens. I think you see it from year to year. I'll take you back a year just to remind you of the uncertainty with most bullpen arms. I wanted, and you wanted, Tanner Scott. We all did. And when the Dodgers signed Tanner Scott, there was that typical, oh, the Dodgers kind of feeling like, oh, my God. Tanner Scott had an abysmal season. So relievers are like that, good and bad. You know, maybe Carl Edwards Jr., who we didn't get that much time to talk about, signed on a minor league deal, rejuvenates himself from 5 years ago. Bullpens are, they're wacky. They're kickers in the NFL. I don't think, and this includes even making a big trade with the Brewers where they end up with Trevor McGill, I don't think there's really any way we're going to go into the start of the season feeling amazing about the bullpen, but I think there's ways for us to feel better about the bullpen. And I think Fairbanks and Rogers would at least do that. I think the big question this bullpen is going to face, and we're not going to know until it happens, is can Devin Williams handle this? His first year with the Bronx Bombers has been explained away as unlucky. David Stearns has said it. I've even said it. We've all looked under the hood and said the same stuff. And while there's truth to it, he still needs to pitch in big moments in a big city with big expectations. And that's despite all the guys they've lost in free agency. The Mets are going to have a huge payroll. There are expectations. And that's going to be the million-dollar question that we cannot answer. Let's pick up the pieces with the lineup. And this is the most complicated. And I think there's going to be a million different ways this team can go right now. They have lost Pete Alonso, and they have lost Brandon Nimmo. And I don't want to completely shortchange what Marcus Semien's been or what Marcus Semien could be in a bounce-back year. But I'm just going to give you the facts. The Mets lost 38 home runs and 25 home runs. I'm not good at math. I think that's 63 home runs. That was subtracted from last year's team. They also took away their RBI leader, 126 from Pete Alonso, and 92 from Brandon Nimmo, who was third. That is a lot of run production. And as I said a million times, and I think most people ended up agreeing with me, while their lineup may not have been their biggest issue, their lineup was an issue. They didn't score enough runs last year. A lot of it was lack of clutchness. I get it, but it didn't happen. So right now they have created some huge vacancies in the middle of this lineup. And one of the things they have to think about is protecting Juan Soto. And I'll tell you this right now on, as we record this, December 11th, and whenever you're listening to this, December 12th, December 3rd, whenever, there are a lot of different bats they could add. None of them, in my opinion, would protect Juan Soto like Pete Alonso. And that is not a knock on Kyle Tucker. That is not a knock on Cody Bellinger. That's not a knock on Eugenio Suarez or anyone else you want to come up with. I don't think any of those other guys, as good as they are, and some of them you could argue are even better players than Pete, I don't think they provide combination of right-handed hitter, slugger, fearsome. I don't think they provide the same protection that Pete gave for Juan. And so as of right now, and I got to tell you, I think there would need to be major changes I don't see coming for my opinion to change this, but I'm going to just put it out there now. Juan Soto is the leadoff hitter for the New York Mets. Carlos Mendoza, I don't care if you have to say, oh boy, that schmucky redhead was right. I am right. He should have let off last year, and now it's even more obvious. And for anyone who's like gasping at that thought, let me explain this real quick. Juan Soto's going to walk 200 times. There is zero protection in this order. And again, we can go through all the different potential moves. None of it's going to supply great protection. Like, Cody Bellinger is a nice player. We'll get to him. That's not going to change the fact that no one's going to face Juan Soto. So my thinking along the lines on this is, if no one's going to protect Juan Soto, I'm going to lean in on it. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to say, cool, walk him. He's going to lead off every game. Cool. I have Lindor batting too, which is likely what I'll have. And I'll just put guys on base. So as of right now, and look, I'll ask myself this question a week from now, a month from now, 2 months from now, the day we go to spring training, am I still sticking with this? And I am predicting to you I will, not because I'm hard-headed. I'd be the first to tell you I've changed my mind on something, just because I'm going to lean into the fact that right now, Juan Soto is naked. Now, let me get into something I talked about on Evan and Tiki. It is not crazy what I'm about to say. And if we're going to have a nice, relaxed, sane conversation and understand what has happened to the Mets over the last 48 hours, we have to have uncomfortable conversations. They have to listen on Francisco Lindor. That does not mean I want to trade Francisco Lindor. I don't. I am not suggesting that they have to trade Francisco Lindor, nor am I going to waste your time with BS narratives about the locker room. I don't think the locker room is why Pete Alonso is gone. I don't think the locker room is why Edwin Diaz is gone. I don't even think the locker room is why Brandon Nimmo is gone. I don't buy it. I think it is a convenient excuse to explain away the failures of David Stearns and some of the key players from performing in 2025. I bring up the idea of listening on Lindor because they just wrecked the core of this team purposely, right? And so if you're willing to move on from Pete and you're willing to move on from Nimmo and you're doing it, hear me out on this, because of long contracts that you don't want to give or you don't want to continue to have in Brandon Nimmo, then when you have a 32-year-old shortstop who showed, if again, we're being honest with uncomfortable conversations, decline at shortstop defensively this past year, he didn't have a great year defensively. We all know that. And so I'm learning from Master Stearns. Doesn't that mean Lindor is now declining? He's 32. Right, we assume Pete Alonso is going to decline. We are assuming Brandon Nimmo is going to decline. So is Francisco Lindor special? Like he can't decline? I also look at Lindor's contract as not unmovable. It's 6 years, 194. If he was a free agent right now at 32 years old, first of all, would the Mets sign him to a six-year, $194 million deal? The answer is no. Would another team? Yes. So again, I want to make this very clear because I've gotten a lot of emails to ricob@gmail.com, maybe confused, maybe hearing me wrong. I am not suggesting they have to trade Lindor. I am not suggesting they must trade Lindor. I am simply saying all bets are off. I'm listening. The rumor, I don't even know if it's a rumor, but the idea out of San Diego from a couple of radio hosts who heard that this is possible of what AJ Preller is trying to pull, the idea of Xander Bogaerts and Mason Miller, no, doesn't do it for me. No deal. I created a trade in theory with the Los Angeles Dodgers that I'd lean towards saying no on, but I wanted to give people at least a perspective on what a Lindor trade could look like. And so the one I created was Andy Pages. There's your center fielder. Tyler Glasnow, not normally healthy, but stud pitcher when he is, and only 2 years left on his deal, 2 years, $60 million. Isn't that right up the Mets' alley? 2 years! And then even Freddie Freeman, who has 2 years left on his deal.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You get a pitcher, you get a young center fielder with team control, and you get someone to help you in the now at first base and with leadership, but you're actually saving yourself on the final 4 years of the Met contract. Look, I think the Dodgers would do that. Would I do it? No. But what I'm telling you, and I'm sure there'll be other creative ideas from people listening, is that one would think about it. I heard a really interesting idea from a caller, because I think we have entered this silly season of being open to everything. Pete Alonso's gone. They let him go. They didn't even make an offer. Edwin Diaz is gone. They have a million holes to fill, but they also have a great farm system. Juan Soto's 27. Lindor's 32. Like, logically, of course you would listen on something like that. But one idea that came from a caller was obviously Fernando Tatis Jr. And that is the apple of Met fans' eyes. It's the apple of everybody's eyes with the Padres move, Tatis Jr. Well, he's 27. His contract is reasonable for now. It shoots up to about $37 million a year in a couple of years. So if the Padres are ever going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr., and I'd say the same with Lindor, the time to do it is now. Because right now, Lindor at 32 on a six-year contract feels okay. Get a couple of prime years out of him. When Lindor is 34 with 4 years left on his deal, that's going to be a negative contract. And so it's funny because you would say, well, then why would someone take it? Well, someone gave Pete Alonso 5 years. It's the same thing. Like, you'll take the contract when it's still okay. obviously, once it becomes a negative, you're not going to get as much for it. And real quick, before I get back to Tatis, Jeff Passan has said the Rangers are listening on Corey Seager. Well, think about that. Corey Seager has the same contract as Lindor, like almost identical. Lindor has 6 years, 194 left. Seager has 6 years, 189 left. Like, it's the same contract. They're basically the same age. And Passan said Texas will listen. They need to be blown away. I would edit that sentence. Actually, I wouldn't edit it. I'd cut it and paste it to apply to the Mets. I'll listen on Lindor. I need to be blown away. And everybody would agree with that. Honestly, who would say to me right now, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. They just let Alonso and Diaz go. You won't listen on a player that could potentially get you a lot back? Anyhow, let me get to the Tatis thing. So Fernando Tatis Jr. is 27 years old. He's also a guy that, and this isn't scaring me off, but I can understand why it would scare others off, is someone who, you know, got suspended for steroids. So you have that looming kind of over his head. But listen to Tatis's contract, which will at least explain why San Diego should move him in the next 2 years. Otherwise, it's going to become an albatross. 27 years old, $20 million next year. Frickin' steal. Steal of a contract. Year after that, shoots up to 25. Okay, still not bad. Year after that, in 2028, at age 29, shoots up to $25 million. And then at age 30, and this is for the last, let me count, 6 years of the contract, he will make $36.7 million. That is more than Lindor per year. So San Diego would move him because, like I explained with Lindor, right now everyone would line up to take it. But if you try to trade that player at 30, even if he's still a really good player, $36 million a year, it's less appealing. Same thing with Francisco. So look, obviously the Padres are not going to take Lindor for Tatis. We'd have to trade more. But could Steve Cohen use his pocketbook to say, we'll absorb one of your other bad contracts, specifically Xander Bogaerts, to offset the cost, and that's how Tatis comes here. And basically you create Padres East with a core of Soto, Tatis Jr., and Bogaerts. It's an idea. And I think what David Stearns has introduced to us peasants, is that every idea needs to be on the table. Because they have taken a wrecking ball to the core of this team. And so nobody is safe except, in my opinion, two players. There are two players that are completely safe from listening on. Juan Soto and Nolan McClain. That's it. The realisticness of Lindor being traded, I don't think it's very high. But I also think the idea that David Stearns wouldn't listen, of course he would. He has taught us this over the last few days. He does not care what I think. He doesn't care what you think. And he certainly doesn't care about fan emotions. So Lindor has been here for a few years. He's given us some great moments, but he is a commodity. And so I would assume David Stearns is open to that. Now, let's get a little bit more realistic. What are they going to do? What should they do? They need to add pop. They've got to replace a lot of home runs. Eugenio Suarez is a guy that I'm mildly intrigued by. He's not a good defender, but he's your DH. That's how I would view him. There is your right-handed pop. He can DH. He can also play a little first base and third base. Not going to do it at a high level, but he does have the ability to at least shift over and play a position. But you know what? He's the DH. And this freaking team has not had a DH since the era began. So I'm just going to throw names at you because they need 2.5 bats. That's how I will phrase it. 2.5 bats. And it doesn't have to be an all-star first baseman. People are freaking out about the idea that first base could turn into some platoon between Jeff McNeil and Paul Goldschmidt. Look, I don't love that either. But if you're giving me like a legitimate DH, and you're giving me a legitimate left fielder, okay, first base doesn't have to be an all-star. We have talked about this for a while when we did the replacing Pete Alonso edition of the Rico, which I refer back to if you want to go back into the archives and hear how we talked about replacing Alonso during a period of time where none of us wanted to replace Alonso. It never had to just be a first baseman. So they need a right-handed power bat. I mean, I'm just being honest. So Suarez jumps out at me as that pure slugger. He strikes out a lot. He's not a great defender. Good. I'm not going to ask him to play a lot of defense. He could be a part of a platoon at first base, maybe playing there 20, 30 times so he can own a glove. But that's my most of the time DH. Cody Bellinger is the most obvious fit. He's an obvious fit because of the versatility he supplies. He has shown you the ability to play in a big market, which he's done in LA, Chicago, and New York. Depending on the development of the young players on this roster, he could end up playing first base. I wouldn't sign him to play first base. I would sign him to be the left or center fielder. But in a world, and this is the world where the Mets have great success in 2026, where Carson Benz rocks and Jet Williams rocks, and the Mets are developing young players at a pace that they really haven't been able to do the last couple of years in terms of impacting at the major league level, Cody Bellinger in that world could end up at first base. It's a situation that could at least happen, if not likely. So I think Cody Bellinger, and this is logical, we've said his name a lot, he absolutely makes a lot of sense. I'm not scared that he's another left-handed bat. He hits left-handed pitching. We have to get over it when guys can do it. Cody Bellinger can do it. They desperately need an outfielder. Bellinger is easy. Luis Robert Jr., dude, we have to admit this. They're going to get Luis Robert Jr. This has been obvious to me for 6 months. And a year ago, I was more intrigued by it. I think when you have a second straight, just pathetically down season and can't stay healthy, obviously even I look at a player and say, huh, maybe I don't want him as much as I wanted him a year ago. But would I take Luis Robert Jr. on a deal in which I'm not giving up a lot of prospects, I'm not giving up a lot of capital, and it's just money? Sure. It's also not long-term money. He makes $20 million next year. And then there's a team option. But you can mark my words. He's going to end up on this team. And adding Robert Jr. and Bellinger, here's how that makes sense and gives the Mets flexibility and comfort. Number one, opening day 2026. I forget what year it is. Opening day 2026, Bellinger plays left, Robert plays center, Soto plays right. You've got yourself three major leaguers out there, all great. Well, not Soto, but center and left, really good defenders. You give Luis Robert Jr. that fresh start on a better roster, and you begin the season. You have two ways for Carson Benz to gain his opportunity. Number one, Luis Robert Jr. stinks. He doesn't perform. He continues to get hurt, not play at a high level. He loses his job. The other factor is Cody Bellinger plays a lot of first base. The other factor is Benj and Robert Jr. maybe switch off and DH a little bit. I know it feels like a waste to have a good defender DHing, but hey, it's a good problem to have when you have too many players contributing. So adding Robert and Bellinger to me is not crazy, nor does it block your young players because of A, the bust factor on Robert, and B, the first base factor on Cody Bellinger. I am very intrigued by Okamoto. And I have said that a lot whenever we've talked about the Japanese market. Murakami scares me. And it apparently most major league teams agree because there doesn't feel like there's a big market for Munetaka Murakami. It feels like teams are afraid about his ability to hit high-velocity fastballs and then throw in the fact he does not defend, which I think kind of almost disqualifies him from the David Stearns Mets. So Kazuma Okamoto, I like as a fit of, here's your first baseman, partially. He can play third base because Brett Beatty had a nice second half of the year, but are we just, we're done? Like, Beatty's the third baseman, let's call it a day? I mean, have we not forgotten the last 2 years, the volatility between Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty? So getting a guy like Akimoto, who can play third base, who can play first base, who has put up some big numbers in Japan, I think it was four consecutive years of hitting 30 home runs or more, having an OPS in the nines, even 1,000, 29 years old. Okay, I'm intrigued by that. These are moves that are going to make the Mets feel very different, but at least try to improve this offense. Luis Arraez makes sense. I brought him up at the very beginning of this offseason. He's a one-trick pony. He hits for a high average, never strikes out, doesn't do anything else well. So how does he fit on the New York Mets, you ask? He fits on the New York Mets as a guy that can DH and a guy that can play first base. And if you think, well, Jeff McNeil does that, just have Jeff McNeil do it. Jeff McNeil, in the last 2 years, and not that he's been god-awful, but he does not put the bat on the ball at the rate that Arraez does. He doesn't. He doesn't hit for the average that Arraez does over the last three seasons. So I think Arraez is better. Unfortunately, it feels like the Mets are in a spot with McNeil where nobody wants him. And so I don't think they're just going to give him away in terms of buying off half of his contract to send him away. But if they're able to do it, I would look at Luis Arraez as a different player that can do what McNeil does, maybe not at the same defensive level, but I'm also not asking anybody to play second base. I mean, the idea is Marcus Semien's going to do it every single day. But I think they need 2.5 bats. And so how would we feel if those bats are Bellinger, Robert Jr., and Suarez? My answer is better than I feel now, but obviously big picture, this is not what we wanted. I think what's going to be a challenge for us as fans and as honest analysisters, it's a made up word, but hey, sometimes I do the Rico and I'm very tired, is that we are going to have to try to not bring everything back to Pete Alonso, not bring everything back to what could have been, because it's over. And as I once said about DeGrom, he's gone and he's not coming back. Alex Bregman is another name. I'm just very skeptical that the Mets are going to go to the territory it's going to take to sign Bregman, to sign Alex Bregman. I'm intrigued by it, the player. He brings an attitude. He's a winner, right-handed bat, gold glove third baseman. I'll risk teaching Brett Beatty first base or maybe being more aggressive and using him as a trade chip. But the reason I haven't brought him up until now, it doesn't feel realistic. Same thing with Kyle Tucker. I just don't think it's realistic. I think that the Kyle Tucker market could move towards the Mets if this happens. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd sort of recommend it to Tucker. And that is be open to a short-term contract.
Coca-Cola. For the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers. Risk takers. For the optimists. Pessimists for long distance love, for introverts and extroverts, the thinkers and the doers, for old friends and new. Coca-Cola for everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
Toast the holidays in a new way and raise a glass of rumchata. A delicious creamy blend of horchata with rum. Enjoy it over ice or in your coffee. Rumchata, your holiday cocktails just got sweeter. Tap or click the banner for more. Drink responsibly. Caribbean rum with real dairy cream, natural and artificial flavors. Alcohol 13.75% by volume, 27.5 proof. Copyright 2025 Agave Logo Brands, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. All rights reserved.
He hurt his value last year. He just did. The view on Kyle Tucker a year ago to the where it is now, still a good player, still a desired player. It feels like he lost something. Now, ultimately, Kyle Tucker and his agent could say, screw it. Let's just take the best offer. It's still going to be 8 years, 310, which is great, but not what they thought they were going to get a year ago. But if you want to bet on yourself, the way Juan Soto bet on himself, the way Pete Alonso bet on himself, then I would venture to say, go sign a 3-year deal with an opt-out after one. And if that's the case, it feels like that's where the Mets could get involved on a guy like Kyle Tucker. Betting on yourself can work. We have to apologize to Pete Alonso and Scott Boras, because when the Mets made that 7-year offer to Pete and Pete turned it down and Steve Cohen said, "Ah, you're making a big mistake, Pete." He didn't make a big mistake, Steve. It looked like he made a big mistake because he got beat up by Major League Baseball and you, but mostly Major League Baseball, in not getting a long-term deal. But then he got a 5-year deal. So if you take the 5-year deal he just signed at 155 and combine it with the 1-year deal you just gave him at $30 million, that is a 6-year, $185 million deal. You offered him 7 and for less, he won. And for now, we lost. For now. I'm open-minded that everything can work out. But for now, Pete Alonso bet on himself and it worked. Now let's get to David Stearns. Pete Hoffman, you have done a great job. Wonderful producer. He just got another great job. He will be producing The Carton Show with Craig and Chris McMonagle. And he did a great job cutting all of these David Stearns clips from day 3 of the winter meetings. And I commend you, because Pete Hoffman, just like me and everyone listening, doesn't want to hear from David Stearns. We're mad at him. It's like when our wife is mad at us and they say, "Leave the room. I don't want to talk to you." It's the exact same thing. So before we listen to David, I want to commend you for being able to listen to David in editing these clips. And I ask you, do you feel better or worse after listening to his voice for an hour or so?
Oh, I want to vomit. Like, it was like, it was pain. It's as painful as if I've ever had to do anything. Like, I do a lot of work. I've grinded my way to the top, I guess you'd say. This was the worst thing I've ever had to do.
So here's what we're going to do. We are going to listen to some questions and answers from day 3 of the winter meetings. Hoffman, you have a button. I have a button. It is the eject button. It's the moment where we say we cannot listen to him anymore. Now, the good news is this work will not go in vain. We will eventually listen to every David Stearns clip. It may be a future episode. But if in this moment, either you or I, obviously the audience has an easy answer, they could just stop listening. They could hit the pause button on the podcast and say, "We're done. I'm not listening for the rest of the day." So you guys have the greatest option in the world. But if there's any moment where either one of us is like, "Oh my God, I can't listen to this man," you have the right to scream eject, eject, eject. And that means we're done for this edition of the Rico in listening to David Stern. Are you ready?
You're lucky, because we will get past at least one or two questions, because I eliminated, for the good graces of the podcast, the smugness and the can't talk about this and him laughing about certain things. I eliminated some of that stuff early on. So I don't think we would have gotten that far, to be honest with you, if we played from jump. Let's put it that way.
Good job, Pete. One quick thing. We have received an overwhelming amount of emails over the last few days, and we appreciate that. And I am going to do my best over the next couple of weeks and email bag Rico's to try to hear as many voices as we can. But there is one email I do want to read right now. For those in the audience who consume the Rico via YouTube, they're going to appreciate this email from Ronnie, because Ronnie says, "Evan, I saw that you took everything down for this episode. Now the wall behind you is a lovely dark gray. Did you paint today? I suppose that's a great way to keep your mind busy and channel this horrific energy. Perhaps I will paint tomorrow or drink is the new backdrop for darker times." So he is right. I am doing the Rico Bronya from the exact same spot I have ever done the Rico Bronya, or at least the ones in my home. But yes, I have taken everything down and I have painted, and I can promise you it has nothing to do with Pete Alonso or Edwin Diaz or the darker times. It is a coincidence. I am doing a revamping of my little office space, the Rico Studio. And for those that consume on YouTube, you will get a very different backdrop in the next couple of weeks. We are working on it. But yes, the timing is pretty peculiar that all of a sudden I have this dark gray background behind me that's completely blank. Basically, the Mets roster. It's a blank slate for David Stern. So I guess it did work. Anyhow, thank you for the email and the question. Let us now get to David Stern's.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If the season were to start today, would Devin Williams then be your closer?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're very comfortable with that. I've certainly seen Devin perform at a very high level for a long time, have full confidence that he can be one of the best relievers in baseball. I think he's very motivated to do that. And I'm looking forward to watching that.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with him. Like, if we get past our anger and our worry, Devin Williams was one of the best closers in baseball. And one of the people that has no right to argue that is Pete Hoffman. Because you sat here, you son of a bitch. You sat here in May and said on the Rico, go to the archives. Dan will find it. Hoff said, I trust Devin Williams more than Edwin Diaz. You said it multiple times. You didn't say it on the Fan. You said it on the Rico. So this should be like a happy day for you, Pete. You got what you wanted. You trust Devin more than Edwin. And trust me, if Dan doesn't find that audio, I will.
Now, listen, I am not going to take it back that I do believe that Devin Williams is going to have a good year this year. last year was miserable. I can't knock it. I can't try to like track it back and say, oh, you know, whatever. It was can't handle New York. Dude, his April was the worst month I've ever seen by a pitcher. Like almost worse than Ryan Helsley. Ah. It was like neck and neck. It was bad.
It was bad.
His ERA was somewhere in the tens. But I am still very confident that Devin Williams is going to get it right. So
I think that that answer that David gave is the right answer. You know, Edwin Diaz isn't walking through that door, and there's no one else in baseball, realistically, that would walk through that door and be the more established closer than Devin Williams. Like, even if they had signed Robert Suarez, I think Devin Williams would be the closer. Even if they signed Pete Fairbanks, Devin Williams would be the closer. So I know we may not love it, but it is the right answer.
You'll add another high-end bullpen arm?
I think we'll see. I think we're having plenty of conversations. I think there are different ways to build a bullpen, and we're going to continue to explore all of them.
There are different ways to build a bullpen. And when I look at this bullpen right now, and I said it at the top of the Rico, you've got Devin Williams as your closer, fingers crossed. You've got AJ Minter coming off a major injury in which he probably won't be ready for opening day. And Brooks Raley was fantastic. I don't want to put him down, but he did have Tommy John surgery a year ago. They need more certainty in that bullpen. And I also like the idea of different looks. I think Tyler Rogers is incredibly important to sign. I would like another high-end guy just to protect yourself from a potential falter of Devin Williams. I mean, what if last year happens again? I know there was so much bad luck. So part of why I like having another late inning reliever is twofold. Number one, it protects you from Devin's struggles. And as I've said a lot on the Rico, I don't know how many people have heard me say this a million times. I like interchanging based on who's coming up in the seventh and eighth inning, my best reliever not always pitching the ninth inning. So having someone who can close like Fairbanks pitch the ninth inning because I like the matchups that Devin Williams was facing in the eighth inning, I feel more comfortable doing that when I've got a guy who can pitch the ninth inning because some guys just can't do it. Some guys, it goes like mental block for them. So I hope they had another high leverage arm. I think Fairbanks is the easy solution despite my worries about his health, but that answer was obviously non-committal.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, every time I hear him be non-committal, it scares me because I'm starting to trust what he says when it's non-committal. I mean, the only other person I think that maybe he will invest time into is another project that Joey Gallo's available. So,
oh,
I mean,
stop
that's
it.
You know what, though? David Stearns likes those projects.
If they, by the way, if the Mets sign Joey Gallo, everyone's got to calm down. It's a minor league deal. Who cares? It looks bad. It's Joey Gallo. There'll be lots of jokes. It is the biggest no biggie you'll ever see, but it hasn't happened yet. So let's all calm down.
David, if you do not do Devin, does that change how you negotiate, like willingness to maybe do more with others?
I'm not going to talk about any specific negotiation. What I'll say is, you know, once you add to a certain part of your team, that will change the calculus in how you look at your team in general. So we are very pleased to be able to add Devin. We think he's a really good reliever. As I said, one of the best relievers in baseball. And I think we're going to see that.
One other thing to keep in mind, and I've brought this up a few times, if they sign a free agent starting pitcher, they've got a lot of starting pitching options. You have to start considering, do you move someone to the bullpen? You know, I had thrown out the idea of Sean Manaea. I know that feels like an overpay at $25 million a year. I know many others have suggested Clay Holmes because of his experience. You could do it with one of the younger arms, though not ideal, because you want them to develop as starters. But that is another option in terms of building this bullpen that he said it. There's a lot of ways to build your bullpen. Sometimes it's internal with starters moving to the bullpen.
How do you run it? I mean, do you look at it as a problem or a thing to tackle when you have popular players and the continuity of those players, the value of keeping them as compared to making sure you have the best team possible?
Look, that is something broadly that we talk about a lot, and we have a lot of those conversations. We've had them throughout this offseason. We had them throughout last offseason as well when we were faced with some decisions. And it is part of it. I've said this before. I can't tell you I know exactly how to weigh that, right? Like, I think we do our best to weigh the full impact of any player on our team, on our organization, and we make the best decision we can.
I don't believe they weighed at all. I believe that David Stearns views players like pieces of meat, like statistical formulas, and that's how they judge if they want the player on the team or not. And sometimes that's a great way to do it. Sometimes it's not. And I think Pete Alonso was a victim to the statistical formula. Right-hand hitting, bad defender in their eyes, one-dimensional, we don't value him much. And that's why we were never going to offer him more than 2 or 3 years. So I think they say the right things. I don't think they mean it. I told this story weeks ago, and I know nobody cared because it was about Sean Marks and the Nets. But one of the first things I said to him was, how do you value that Brook Lopez is a career Net? How do you value that he may own every record in the books? And in his deep Australian accent, he talked, oh, we value it greatly. You know, it's a factor. Bah, 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 bah. And then they traded his ass to the Lakers. They don't value it. He did not value it. Not even saying he's wrong. I'm just describing it. And whether David Stearns grew up as a Met fan or not is irrelevant to this. He is not managing, GMing this team like a fan. He is GMing this team like the smart person he is. See, I'm being nice. That's what he's doing. And by the way, that's not all wrong. But don't give me this, oh, yeah, no, we factor that stuff. You don't factor that stuff in. You viewed these players as statistical formulas. Soto was the greatest formula ever, so we'll go as far as we can. And I agree with you. I test checks out on that. But don't give me this. We balance. I don't want to hear it.
So the one thing that I just am a little confused by, and again, there's still a long time of this offseason to go, so I pretty much am guaranteeing Jeff McNeil will not be returning. But so far, the core of this team had to change. It wasn't good. And, you know, we don't believe, even though they said they believed in Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz, Pete Alonso they didn't really believe in. Pete Alonso's gone. Edwin Diaz is gone. Brandon Nimmo's gone. Those are, like, Nimmo's a good guy. How is Jeff McNeil, the guy that we know has had an issue
because,
with Lindor, still on this team?
Because the locker room has nothing to do with what's already happened. That's just a convenient thing people like to say. It's a statistical formula. It's Pete Alonso, and this was going back to last year. They didn't want to get Pete Alonso a long-term contract. That has nothing to do with the locker room. That has everything to do with they didn't view him that way. And I think in Nimmo's case, it was probably more they see him as a declining asset. David Stern said, I am putting a premium on run prevention, and Marcus Semien is, no question about it, a gold glove caliber second baseman. And so while they lost a little bit defensively and picked up a few dollars in the short term, but saved money in the long term, that was a baseball move. And the Edwin Diaz thing, I think, was an F up, if I'm being honest. So that's why I get why you said that. We got to stop talking about the locker room. It's a waste of time. It is a confusing thing that's thrown out there that to me has nothing to do with what's happened. And I get annoyed sometimes because I'm like, is that something the Mets are actually leaking? I don't think they are, but like, it doesn't make the Mets look better. It doesn't make anybody look better. To me, it feels like it's just, it's nonsense. So
the fact that you say that, like, or people have said they have to change the core, it's not the core in the locker. It had nothing to do with the locker room. It's just,
it wasn't even that. It's an individual case-by-case basis. Alonso, they didn't want to give him years. That's not new. And in Nimmo's case, I think it was going back to the run prevention theory, which is they're going to get better defensively at second base with Semien, and whatever they do in left field, we'll see. They'll get better defensively in left field. They're going to be a significantly better defensive team. So that's where these theories are thrown out there, and it gets repeated over and over again, and people just buy it. We got to look at everything on a case-by-case basis. So,
just a quick one before we get back to the Q&A. We should do an episode, because I still have like a bitterness and feel to this whole thing with Pete Alonso Diaz being gone. Can we do an episode of just like the worst feels of a player leaving? Like the Grom, Pete Alonso, Diaz. I'm sure people have a lot to say about Tom Seaver, Nolan Ryan.
Daryl.
That's a whole episode. But we'll
that see. Is a, that, that's a two-part episode.
Oh, it's a lot of tears. All right, here we go.
You obviously had a lot of coaching turnaround, including some really highly respected coaches like Jeremy Hefner. Are you ever concerned that might make you a less desirable place for players to come to?
No, I think from the feedback I've heard from players is they're very excited to work with our coaching staff this year. We brought in a number of very highly respected, well thought of coaches throughout the league. And so I think we're going to have a group that's very excited to work with our coaching staff.
One of the coaches not coming back is Eric Chavez, who continues on social media to talk about the Mets. He said, I'm paraphrasing, he volunteered to be fired midseason to try to spark the team. He was asked, do you think David Stearns is in over his head in managing a big market team? And he wrote, yes, I do. And unfortunately for Eric Chavez, who I respect, had a hell of a major league career, was a well-regarded coach. I don't think anything he says about the Mets matters right now, because it's going to come across, fair or not, as just bitter grapes. Bitter grapes? Bitter grapes.
Sour grapes.
Sour grapes, damn it! Yeah, so, I don't mean any disrespect to Eric Chavez. I'm just respectfully telling you, I don't really care what he says. It just doesn't move me, even if the stuff's true, and maybe it is true. It's just, for now, maybe a year from now, I'll think differently, or a few weeks from now, I'll think differently. But for right now, I'm like, the guy, I don't know. It just feels like there's bitterness involved, so I don't want to hear it. All right, what else you got, David Stearns?
You go back to, you know, first start drawing up offseason plans with the bullpen specifically. You know, as we sit here in mid-December, is it shaping up the way you sort of envisioned?
I think when we go into an offseason, we have lots of different paths that the offseason can take. We thought it important to bring in a reliever of really high quality. We're really excited that we were able to do that with Devin Williams. We think he's going to fit our club really well. And so I'm also confident we're going to continue to add to the pen and have a very good one when we get to the regular season.
From your lips to God's ears, all right, let's hear more from the boy wonder.
What did you figure out about Devin Williams' season with the Yankees? The underlying numbers were pretty on par with the rest of his career, but the ERA was obviously much higher.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of this has been, frankly, pretty well documented and analyzed publicly in various ways. He got pretty unlucky. The underlying ingredients were still really good. This can happen at times with relievers where there's an anomalous period of time or there's an anomalous season. I think Devin, what excites me about Devin is he's not just saying, oh, I got unlucky last year. He's saying, I want to get better. And there's another gear. And yes, I know my stuff last year was really good. And the results probably didn't necessarily reflect how good I actually was. But I can actually get better and I can manipulate the ball a little bit differently. And so, you know, I think Devin's looking for another level, which is pretty cool.
Very cool. Now get to that next level. Let's hear more from David Stearns.
David, how hard is it when you are dealing with ownership of a marketplace where you could afford to take extra steps to keep a discipline if you think it's beyond your discipline of where you want to go?
Our resources that we have here are an enormous advantage. And as long as we allocate those resources intelligently, they're going to continue to be an enormous advantage. I think Steve gives us everything we need to have not only a great roster, but a competitive organization in every single respect. I think our players and coaches recognize that. And I have no doubt that we're going to continue to have the resources we need to compete at a very high level.
So when I hear resources, some of us will jump to give Pete a fourth or fifth year. And I have certainly said that, or go throw extra money for this guy. I want to give you a small example where I really need Steve Cohen to flex his muscle. If you want to acquire a Luis Robert Jr., and it is obvious that David Stearns is intrigued by the player, okay? They were linked to him before the trade deadline. They're being linked to him again. There was a report from John Heyman earlier on Thursday in which the Mets have said to the Chicago White Sox, I'll even read it to you, the Mets have inquired about Luis Robert. But for the Mets to surrender prospects, they want money back to offset Robert's $20 million salary. And hardline White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf isn't going to help a Steve Cohen team or give money to a Steve Cohen team. I don't want you to give up prospects, Mr. Cohen. I want your resources, especially since David Stearns clearly has identified Robert Jr. as a player he likes, and you could basically get him for nothing. How about you just pay the stupid salary, your resources of financial might, so we don't give up any prospects? What a concept. Like, it's the opposite of what you did with Verlander and Scherzer, which was great. Appreciate it, right? You paid off the contract to get a better return. So in this case, you trust David Stearns, right? Clearly Steve Cohen does. Obviously, he likes Robert Jr. So let's not play a game where you're begging the White Sox to spend some money on Robert Jr. so we could give them a better young player who we could keep. So when I hear resources and I see a story like this, I know it's not my money. Well, it kind of is my money because this owner raised season ticket prices and then let Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz walk out the door. So not only is Citi Field going to have a lot of empty seats next year, the schmucks who bought the season tickets are not going to be able to sell their tickets on the games they can't go to because no one's going to want to go to the ballpark. So in a weird way, it is my money. Just pay the salary. I don't want to give up, you know, Nick Borabito because you want Jerry Reinsdorf to pick in some money for Luis Robert Jr. Anyhow, back to you, David Stearns.
Oh, wait, you really think that that's the guy that the Mets are getting is Luis Robert Jr.? That, like, if there's one outfielder that they're going to get the rest of this offseason, it's Luis Robert Jr.?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised by that. I'm like, that's the guy that we're going to go all in on.
You're doing an editorial. I'm not doing an editorial. I'm telling you, I think that's what they're going to do based on the evidence that they tried to trade for him at the deadline, and now they're talking again. You know, usually when there are that many conversations, there's a real interest. So I'm just following the bouncing ball on this, that clearly David Stearns has identified Robert Jr. as a player that they would like to rehab with the New York Mets. And as we've talked about, I like Robert Jr. to a degree as well. I'm a little scared off based on the year he just had. I am intrigued by the idea of getting him into a better situation, which I think the Mets are. But I'm giving you more the basic, this is just a gut feeling. I kind of see them doing it.
Gotcha.
I guess what I'm asking is, there's some point, because you do have Steve's backing, to say, damn it, I'll just do. It's uncomfortable. It's not the discipline, but I'm going to do it because I can.
Look, I think we're always weighing how certain transactions fit into the larger puzzle of the resources we have. We have a lot of resources. No team has unending resources. And I've said that before. We've got all the resources we need, all of the payroll space we need to put a really good team on the field. That doesn't mean it's infinite, nor should it be. And so every decision point, whether it's a trade, whether it's free agency, has constraints on it. And we do our best to work with them in the context of what is a very heavily resourced and well-supported team.
Yeah, the two free agents where we've seen Stearns specifically go all out is Soto and Yamamoto. From a trade perspective, this will be fascinating because clearly Tarik Skubal is being shopped. Doesn't mean they're going to trade him, but he is being shopped. He's being talked about. Teams have talked to Detroit about Tarik Skubal. How far will David Stearns go to make that trade? As we sit here right now, I am not in love with trading for Tarik Skubal. Why, you ask? Because there are so many other questions about this roster. Giving up major prospects for a rental starting pitcher or a guy who could be a rental is less appealing today than it was 3 weeks ago, when this roster could have used a tweak here and there to be a Skubal away from winning a championship. They are not a Skubal away from winning a championship. So if you can promise me they're going to go add a real outfielder and a real DH or first baseman, like 2.5 position players and another bullpen arm, then screw it. Go try to get Skubal. You have a chance to win a championship. But right now I'm hesitant to be aggressive on a trade for Tarik Skubal.
Is there maybe a greater sense of urgency this time today as opposed to yesterday with some of the dominoes that have fallen, if they will?
I think there's always urgency. I think we're always trying to improve the team to the best of our ability, trying to make the decisions that are best for the organization. So I think we always feel a sense of urgency.
Okay. Every day is urgent. Schwarber's gone. Alonso's gone. Diaz is gone. Suarez is gone. I think today is a little bit more urgent than yesterday was. That's just me.
How do you view this outfield market so far this offseason?
I think between what's available in free agency and some of the names that are being talked about in the trade market, that there's a pretty robust group out there. There's a pretty robust market. And look, we're going to continue to explore that. And I also think we've got some really good internal candidates as well.
It's not a robust market. It's Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger, and then there's a huge drop-off in the outfield. There's not a lot of great outfielders. Maybe the trade market will surprise us with guys being available we don't expect, but after Tucker, who, again, I don't think the Mets are interested in, there's a pretty big drop-off in the outfield after you get past Bellinger.
As some of the more higher-profile bullpen arms maybe fall off the board in the next coming days, weeks, whatever, would your focus shift more towards starting pitching at that point?
Throughout the offseason, I think we've been engaged on all segments of the team, bullpen, starting pitching, position, player grouping, and so I think all of those pursuits will continue.
Are you committed to Clay Holmes for the rotation at this point, or could he enter into the bullpen conversation?
At this point, we're viewing Clay as a starter.
At this point. So that's an easy thing to pivot off of. I tend to believe him. I think Clay showed a lot as a starter last year, and their preference would be to keep him in the rotation. But not just Clay Holmes. I view other guys, the veterans specifically, because I don't want to really screw around with the young arms. But Sean Manaea, despite $25 million a year, Clay Holmes, they could very well be possibilities to move to the bullpen, though not at this time. Well, yeah, not at this time, because there's still a whole offseason to go. And they better be focusing on a million different things like David talked about, because they got a lot of holes to go through.
So we are now done with the winter meeting scrum.
Good. I'm done with David then. Eject, yeah. eject. I think we have made the Rico listeners listen to enough of David Stearns. But what have we learned? Here's what we've learned. They got a lot of freaking work to do. That's what we've learned. They need to add 2.5 bats. They need to add 1 or 2 bullpen arms. The rotation hasn't been touched. So as we dust ourselves off and we pick up the pieces, David Stearns, get to work. You can email us, therico@gmail.com. We will examine David Stearns' trade resume as team president of the New York Mets. That was a request from a Rico listener. We will do that on an upcoming Rico Bronya. And also, we will be tributing Brandon Nimmo. We haven't decided if we're going to be tributing Edwin Diaz. We will be tributing Pete Alonso later on in the offseason, but the Brandon Nimmo tribute you will hear during the holiday week. Anyhow, we appreciate you downloading, listening, and subscribing to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.